One of the things that that I love about MFAR is the range of topics and science that one may learn about at the conference. So if any of you were at the presentation that Eric Corshane gave this morning, it was quite impressive in both the display of science, the cutting-edge nature of, I think, his work, as well as his reflection on the work of others that are finding similar findings, and world-class graphics. The presentation in this symposium will stretch the continuum from sort of uber scientific to the practical, from fMRIs and neuron migration and infancy to intervention practice that we would use when we go in on Monday and have a 10-year-old child with autism in our school program or clinic. Much interest has been placed on the translation of research into practice in the medical field and also the behavioral and developmental field. This has been pushed, I think, by the criticism that some federal agencies, scientific agencies, have for producing results that that do not have immediate relevance for the lives of children with autism and their families. Tom Insel's presentation yesterday, where he described the work of the Interagency Autism Coordinating Council, he corrected that impression somewhat by conveying the council's effort to create questions that are meaningful for families and for individuals with autism, and how the federal agencies were addressing those questions. But I think still, if one looks at the investment by NIH in treatment research, it was only about 20%, but up from about 12% that they calculated maybe 4 years ago. Autism Speaks, if you were in the presentation this morning, treatment research is about 8% of their total investment. So there's still, I guess, concern about resources that are available for both applied behavioral developmental treatment research and also the translation of that work. In this symposium, our presenters will be addressing four topics that also reflect very applied questions, sort of like the questions that that you heard from the IACC. The questions that we'll be addressing in this symposium are: what intervention practices are evidence-based? That is, if we believe that it's important to base our work with children and adults and adolescents, families, on science, then what are those scientifically based practices? Second, what features of program environments are important for implementation of evidence-based practice and generally important for individuals with autism spectrum disorders? How does one assess progress on individual goals? Given that that one feature of high-quality programs is that they're individualized, locating or identifying a methodology for capturing progress impact on those individually determined goals is critical, and Lisa Rubel will be talking about that. And then finally, how does one affect service systems to support implementation of evidence-based practice?